Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. As on Wednesday nights, we've been going through and teaching on the life of Joshua. And there's so much to be taught about Joshua the man, even before we get to the book of Joshua. But then we have spent a couple Wednesday nights in the book in chapter 1 of Joshua. We find that God presents his expectation of Joshua now that Moses has died. And God's expectations are also God's commandments to us. Whatever God commands, he expects us to follow after that. And not only did God give the expectations to Joshua, but he also revealed to him how to accomplish them. And chapter 1, verses 6 through 9. And verse 6, he also reveals that his lifelong goal to Joshua. Can I tell you, it's important that not only do we understand God's will for us in the right here and now, but we stay focused on a life goal. It's important to do that, because as we stay focused on a life goal, everything else will lead to accomplishing that. And we find that his life goal would be to divide the land. Found there in verse 6 when he says, "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them." There was a lot that had to be done before he could divide the land. There was battles to be fought and there was victories to be won. But ultimately, when he was going through all these other things, he never lost focus of eventually possessing the land and then dividing the land up as God would have it to divide it up between the 12 tribes of Israel. And once that was done, then Joshua would have completed his purpose in this life, and God would call him on to glory. And so it's always important for the church. We know that it's reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a whole lot of things that have to be done in the church to be able to maintain the church, to be able to accomplish what God would have us to accomplish, and that is reaching the world with the gospel, baptizing them. That means we have to have a facility, we have to have a place to assemble, have to have a place to where we can bring them in to baptize them. And then the third phase is to disciple them and to teach them all things whatsoever Christ has taught us. And so that is a long-term goal. That is throughout, for the rest of the existence of the church, for this New Testament church age, no matter what we have to deal with, no matter how bad it's going to get or what we have to handle, the goal remains the same. The focus on the goal remains the same. It will remain the same until Christ raptures the church out of this world, okay? And that is to reach the world with the gospel. The world's going to get worse and worse. There's going to be more of an antichrist mentality, and yet the church is to remain focused on the same goal. No matter how far out they might be, we have to learn to be able to do everything we can to be able to reach the lost and see them baptized, and then to disciple them. We'll continue to do that. One of the things that we established at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, the motto of this church from 1985 was to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out. 36 years later, we're still having that very same motto, to bring them in, to build them up, to send them out. Amen. We got to go reach them. We got to bring them into the Christ church. We have to baptize him under the authority that he gave to his church. And then we have to disciple them to realize now it's your turn. You have to get out there and you start witnessing and you start looking to bring people into the church so we might continue to do that same thing. We'll continue to have that motto for the life of the church. And as long as the church remains, now when the church is raptured up, those of you who will remain here, you can do it any way you want to do it. But for us that are saved and on our way to glory, we're going to continue to focus on doing it the same way that God has for us to do things. For instance, for parents, it's for their kids to turn out right. When you have those children, one of the lifelong goal ought to be for that child to turn out, get saved, and find the will of God and serve God with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. That should be the focus. Now, there's a lot of things you're going to have to deal with in raising children, raising teenagers, but the long-term goal is the same. For the married, long-term goal, just stay married. Stay married. It's getting tougher and tougher, but you can do it because it's God's will. It's God's will, okay? So stay married. All right, with all that said, now let's go on to the next lesson. Let's go ahead and stand. We're going to be reading, and just a little bit of backtracking, verse 6 down to verse 11. Verse 6 down to verse 11. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong. This is how you do it. Be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. Now verse 10. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the host and command the people, saying, prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan, to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, thank you for, again, this opportunity to be in church. And I pray now that you would help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds and just focus on what you have for us through the study of your servant Joshua. Empower the preaching of thy word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You may be seated. The Bible says after Joshua has received this, and he knows exactly what God would have him to do, the Bible says then once he had that, once he understood the position that he held, once he understood God's will for that position, once he understood his responsibilities to that position, we find the Bible says that he just started doing it. Then Joshua's response to all that God had given to him was prompt. I think it'd help us so much if we just do what God tells us to do without giving Satan time to talk us out of it. And I tell you, a lot of times God will speak to us in the services under the preaching and the teaching of God's word, and we fail to go to the altar. Can I tell you, in this church, we'll always have an altar to give people opportunity to respond to God's message, an altar call. Because the longer you wait to do what God has revealed that you need to do, you're going to give the old devil more time to talk you out of it, more time to get you sidetracked, to not to accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. And so we find here that it was very important for Joshua, once he had this understanding, once he knew exactly what God's will was for him, to respond promptly. He was going to then dedicate himself to doing what God had revealed to him that he wanted Joshua to accomplish. I like what the psalmist said in Psalms 119 and verse 60. He says, I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. What a great motto that is. God, when you speak to me, and once I know for sure it's your will and what you'd have me to do, strengthen me to do it. I'm going to just dedicate my life to doing whatever it is you tell me that you want me to do and accomplishing whatever it is that you have set before me that you want me to accomplish. Lord, I'm just going to step out by faith, and I'm going to do whatever whatever that might be. Be prompt in committing to whatever God reveals to you, as long as you know it is coming from God. Be prompt. Don't give the devil time to talk you out of it. Just commit to doing that. That's what Joshua started doing. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people. The second thing we find here is that Joshua knew of the importance of his position and what God expected of it. He commanded. His position was that of an authority. Not that Joshua in and of himself had any authority. I stand before you tonight as a pastor of this church, but in and of myself, I have no authority. What gives me the authority that I have is a position that I'm filling. And I only have that authority as long as I am filling this position. When I step out of this position, I do not have that authority any longer. There'll be another man that will step behind this in this position that I'm filling right now, and he will then have the authority of that position to do what God would have him to do in that position. Sometimes we lose sight of that. We follow a man instead of God. Because sometimes men get in positions they should never be allowed to get in. But we are to honor the positions that God has established. So Joshua knew of the importance of his position and what God had expected, not only of Joshua, but of the position that Moses had. But now he's dead and gone. And God says, now Joshua, you have that position. He commanded the officers. He knew what God had given to him to do. He understood he had the position to get it done. And so he commanded the officers. There's no further need to pray. I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. You ought to pray. You better pray to make sure that you have the direction of God. That you have, especially if you have any kind of position of authority, then you had better make sure that you are filling that position as God has meant for you to fill that position. That you have understanding the respect of that position, that you will not fail to be everything that you need to be in that position. And so we find here that this was Joshua had that position, and he commanded the officers because there was no further need to pray. He had already prayed. He had already sought the Lord. There was no further need to seek counsel. Now, I think we ought to seek counsel. But once you understand the will of God, stop trying to find a counsel that agrees with what you want the counsel to say. Once you understand it's from God, there is no other counsel needed. There's no more prayer needed outside of the strength and the wisdom to do what it is that God has called you to do, possibly. No need to take a vote. No. No need to fill the waters, find out who might agree and who might not agree. No, if you have the position and you know the will of God in filling that position and leading as God would have you to lead in that position, then don't let other things sidetrack you from doing what God has put you in a position to do. He led. If you study the Bible, you understand humanity needs authority. God created Adam to need the authority of God in his life. And Adam realized that. That's why Adam had fellowship with looking to God. And that's why God had fellowship with man by putting him in a garden and bringing animals before him so that he would look to God and say, God, what would you have me to name all these animals? How would you have me to tend to this garden? How would you have me to fulfill the position that you've given to me when Adam was the only living man on the earth? But God had designed Adam to have a need for authority over him. And that authority over him would give him direction for his life. We're the same Adams. God created Adam, and then he created Eve, and then we are the children of Adam and Eve. You trace your ancestry back far enough. I never have been one to do that. I just, in agreement with, I know where I started. Yeah. Yes, I had ancestry that was on the ark. Yeah, got through the flood. Bible tells us a lot. Amen. Reveals a lot to us. He was supposed to look to God and study and stay focused on God's will for his life. And it was found in the law of Moses and the prophets. That's what he used to focus on. Now, can I tell you, today we have come to the place, and you've heard me say this so often because it's so needed, we're not under the Old Testament law. We are to continue to learn from the Old Testament law because it was not done away with, it was fulfilled. And because of the Old Testament law, that it allowed humanity to develop under God's authority for a time that God determined on the earth. But God knew that the 21st century would be here. And his design for the 21st century was in mind and in his design from the very beginning. Even though, as we go through the Old Testament law, we look back and we say, boy, some of those things just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense today, but back then it would have made sense with what they had to work with. And the Bible says that some things that in the law God winked at concerning what man was allowed to be able to get by with, but Christ fulfilled that. And he gave us the New Testament scriptures that are not in disagreement with the Old Testament. It is the fulfillment of what God's design was for the New Testament and what God's design would be for the church before the rapture of the church, so that we can accomplish what God would have us to accomplish in the New Testament church age. For example, it was never God's will for man to have more than one wife, or wives to have concubines and all the different things. And we look at that and we say, how did, the Bible says that God winked at that, meaning that it was not prepared for that time, but it's always God's will that there would be, Jesus presented this, there would be one man for one woman and one woman for one man. That would be God's ultimate will, and that's what has been designed, and that is how we are to live in this New Testament church age. There's so many other things like that we don't have time to go into, but we have evolved in understanding who God is and the will of God for out the end of humanity. And so as Joshua was to be focused on the law, can I tell you, you and I are to be focused on the teachings of Christ. Because that is the ultimate design for humanity. God himself came to give us an example of his ultimate design for how humanity was to live and to love one another and respect one another and to allow the fruit of the Spirit to guide us. Wow. That humanity, what we find here, needs authority. If left to ourselves, we will not make right decisions. We will not make godly decisions. That is complete opposite of humanism. And yet, so many people are going the way of humanism. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. With that in mind, just let's read these verses with understanding what we just presented. Proverbs chapter 3, my son, forget not my law. It's important that you not forget it, lose sight of it. But let thine heart keep my commandments. You're going to have to focus on my commandments and turn your heart to my commandments and turn your thinking to my commandments. Now, this is what will happen when you do that. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. It's going to add to civilization. It's going to add to the way of life and the way of living on earth. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's going to affect, if we are Christ-like, it's going to affect society. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thine own understanding. That means that there's a tendency to lean toward our own thinking. And if you lean toward your own thinking without understanding the need for authority over you, then you'll make the wrong decisions most of the time, if not all the time. But we have an authority over us, which is God. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Wow. Chapter 22. Chapter 22, Proverbs. Verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Can I tell you, you can put in there, in the heart of every child. Because that's what he's revealing to us. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. What is that? Authority. Authority over that child to make sure that that child is doing what the authority has commanded the child to do. And when you do that, then you are able to put a lid on the foolishness that is bound in the heart. But it's there. Chapter 23 and verse 6. I'm sorry, verse 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. The father is to influence that child to look to him and follow in the footsteps of a godly father, using that position the way that God would have you to use that position of a father, because you have authority in that position. And if you use it rightly, it can help your children because they'll follow your heart. Chapter 29 and verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. Without it, there's foolishness. It's bound in the heart of that child. But the rod and the reproof give wisdom. But a child left to himself, don't follow the world and humanism that's trying to get you to let that child determine for themselves what they are going to think, how they're going to live, what they're going to follow after. Listen to me. The Bible says that's foolishness. They need authority. Humanity was designed to need authority over it. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Verse 17, correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. God established positions of authority because he designed humanity to need authority. That's powerful stuff. It really is. Go back with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua now has authority because he has a position that God has placed him in. Joshua addressed leaders. He commanded because God wanted him to command, because he had the authority, because he had the position, and he was looking to God. And he commanded the officers of the people. Officers of the people. Leaders. Another position of authority, but just not as high of authority as what Joshua had. And Joshua did not have as high of authority as what God has. But we find here now that there was officers, leaders, prepared and positioned by God. These officers were positions that God had established for the people that would be under the position of Joshua. But they had been prepared and positioned by God. How important that is. Because God is still preparing and positioning servants today to fill offices that he has established. So how did it work? God commanded Joshua. Then Joshua was to command officers. And then officers were to command men. And men were to command families. Yeah. But mankind still had a free will. So as we reverse all of what we just said, understanding a free will to agree or not to agree. In reverse, it would be families looking to a leadership that God has positioned in the family, which would be the husband, the man of the home. Very important position in the family. We study the Bible. Families then were to look to men, and men were to look to officers, and officers were to look to Joshua, and Joshua was to look to God. But they had to choose to do so. When you break any of that chain, Satan gets huge victories. Get victories inside each family. Get victory in the offices that actually have authority over the families, over the men that have authority over the families. Joshua, however, if you affect with Joshua, then the effect of Joshua would affect all of the officers and all the men and all the families. Wow. I'm sure glad that in Joshua chapter 1, verse 16 to 18, we find that they yielded to Joshua, and this is what the Bible says about it. And they, all the people, and they answered Joshua, saying, "All that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. according as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. This is how important they've seen this. We're not going to let anybody come between that chain, break that chain. He shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. What a blessing that was. What an encouragement to understand that. And how that applies to New Testament Christianity. How it applies to the authority the God that Jesus Christ has established. You see, Jesus set this authority up for this church age. Under the same understanding of humanity needs to have authority over it. Fulfilling the Old Testament, not taking away, because that's what led us to understand the positions of authority and how important they would be to humanity and to society. And Jesus came and fulfilled that and established authority for the church age. The authority is somewhat the same in understanding that God. Now, God is no longer speaking in audible voices to humanity, but he doesn't have to. Because all of humanity today have the fulfillment and the completion of the full revelation of God to man. And it's the Bible that you have right here. You can hear the voice of God whenever you want to hear the voice of God if you understand that the Bible is his love letter to you. If you understand this is the mind of God. And we have it. When you come to church, you're wanting to be influenced by the mind of God. God has established a position for the church that has the authority to preach the word and to present it in a way that it can be understood and applied, because it's a position that Jesus established for his church, which is a position of a pastor. It's a position of the authority of the Bible. Not the authority of the man, it's the authority of the Bible. And the man is there to present the Bible as the authority. Hebrews chapter 13. Everybody follow me tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 13. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 13, in verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. So we have a position there, and he has much to say about that position and those that are filling those positions. But that position, says, has the rule over you, because that is a position of the Bible, and the Bible has the authority over all of us. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. Again, they are taking the authority of the Bible and presenting that to the church so that the church might have the insight and the understanding of God. And every one of those that fill that position will give an account to God for how they use that position. It's sad that so many lose sight of the authority and they think they are the authority, and that is not how God established it. That's not how Jesus designed it. He did design that position, and it is a position that has authority, but that authority is not from that man. That authority has to be from the Bible, the Word. Mm. 1 Timothy chapter 3, very familiar, gives us the position of a pastor, bishop, and elder, which is all three the same, looking at this position over the church, in the church. A man desired the office of a bishop, the position. Not so he could have the authority, but he might be able to be used of God and impact people's lives. Not to exalt himself, but to minister the word of God to people. And gives qualifications of that. And then he goes into the position of a deacon in the church to assist in carrying out this work and helping and assisting the pastor in that position. But that would be another office. There's offices of helpers, but that'd be another office. But all of those offices, again, it's just like Joshua, it's God who had prepared and then placed Joshua in that position, and then Joshua would understand the position of officers, and the officers would understand the position of the heads of each home, and then the heads of each home was to direct their homes, to follow after, as you go back to the final and the ultimate authority where it all started from, and that was God. Every Bible positions of authority, head of every individual family and the family. Ephesians in chapter 6. I'm not going to be much longer here, so let me just help you here. But Ephesians 6, children, go back to the beginning of every life. As they were born with a sinful nature and foolishness bound in them. Obey. Obey, that means when you're commanded, you're to do it. When you're commanded, it's an expectation of that authority for you to do it. And every parent ought to expect their children to obey. Not for your sake, but for their sake. This is right. Honor thy father and mother. Every parent ought to expect their children to honor them. This is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, the authority of each home, understand you're the one that you're going to answer to the authority of that home. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. As positions of authority, we follow that authority as they follow Christ. That's the key. That's the key to every position that has any authority over anyone else. It's Christ. Paul would write in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. Verse 1. Be followers of me. Not that Paul wanted a following, but he knew that he held a position that people needed to follow because it was authority over them. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Wow. That makes all the difference when you understand that. 1 Corinthians, he would go on to say in chapter, or actually he would say it in chapter 4 in verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. For this cause have I sent unto you Timotheus, who is my beloved son. He is an officer, if you will. I'm sending him to you. And faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you into remembrance of my ways, which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Isn't that good stuff right there? Because Paul is saying, yes, I have a position and I need to understand my position and I need to use my position as God would have me to use the position of authority, but it's not for me. It's so that I might be able to serve God. I might serve Christ. And as I follow him and understand what he would have me to give to you, then I'm going to give to you and you take it and you give it to those that God has placed you over authority of others. But never lose sight where the authority comes from. Never lose sight of who we're following. Because God designed man's position. Not that popular today, but it's Bible. It's Bible. Genesis in chapter 2, and we're going to quit here and just, I'm going to follow this right here. I want you to see it. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It's just man. There was just man on the earth for some time. We don't know how long. It was just man. Verse 15. And the Lord God took the man, just the man, the woman's not created yet, and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Just the man. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Listen to me, that was given to the man. It would have been his responsibility to pass it on to the woman once God created the woman, but let me tell you, it was just the man. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam. He still hadn't formed the woman yet. He wants Adam to see a need for a wife. Every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. God was having a good time with Adam here. Amen. Just wanting to see, I designed you. Now I want to see the fruit of my design. Just to see how your mind works. God would understand. He was created Adam in the image and likeness of himself. He wanted that fellowship. Adam gave names to all the cattle, to all the fowl of the air, to every beast. And where did he get that? There was nothing to look into. There wasn't an encyclopedia for him to turn to and say, all right, what would I call the four-footed beast? What would I call the bird? There wasn't any of that. There was just God. There would have been fellowship there. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmeet for him. I think now he sees all the other life having helpmate. Everything God designed. And the Lord God, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. He slept and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. first surgery. Learned a lot from that. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made a he, a woman, and brought her unto man. Wow. Praise the Lord for helpmate. Praise the Lord. Because God does not love man, Adam, more than he did Eve. He just had to design Adam in a way so he would appreciate the way that God wanted him to appreciate his wife. And he would design Eve in a way that she would appreciate the design that God had for her husband and their relationship. And it was God's choice to allow the woman to have the child, and I think a very wise choice in how he designed this there. But it was God's design. Stop trying to improve on God's design. Just understand he's the ultimate authority. I just need to follow his design. I need to follow his authority. And then the positions that he has established, when he's given authority to those positions, if I'm under that authority, I need to appreciate and respect that design that God has for that position and that authority. But I have to make sure that whatever authority I'm looking to is following the authority of God and today of Jesus Christ. Wow. What a start. What a start from Joshua having this position to accomplish something that would impact not only the world in Joshua's time, but throughout all humanity. Yeah. And we have it there to learn from. Let's honor and respect the positions that God has established over us. If I could have every head bowed, I got to stop. Every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. As we think about what we're studied, what we look to. Do you have that? Have you yielded to the position that God has for you in your life? If you have any authority, have you made sure that you have looked to Christ and know how to use the authority that God has given to you in that position? If not, let's dedicate ourselves to it. Let's be all that God would have us to be, with every responsibility of life. Father, we love you. Thank you for the truth of your word, and I pray, God, that you'd help us now just to learn from it, be strengthened by it, and also apply whatever you have for us to apply to our own lives. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.